Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 125.
Five more to the shot, and it feels like we've been going for so long without a shot.
I'm Nick, alongside Emily.
As always.
Emily, how you doing today?
Thriving. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be an American. I am having a great time.
Hey, Hulk Hogan's not in this show.
I'm going to keep drinking. In fact, do you want to do a shot? Because I kind of feel like I need it.
Well, initially, I was like, yeah, this might be a shot-worthy show, but upon rewatching it with you, I'm like, okay, it's not as bad as initially thought, yeah. But, ooh, it's a rough one.
These shows are getting to the point where if you go into them in a bad mood, just as in a general audience, you're not going to like it. But if you go into it with a totally neutral mood, it's fine.
Well, today we're talking about the August 14th, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro live from... It's like Kelowna or something.
I don't remember.
It's somewhere in British Columbia, Canada. I think it's Kelowna. We are one night removed from New Blood Rising, a show in which things certainly happened.
It was indeed a show. That's for damn sure.
Any thoughts you want to recap on that show?
Judy was on a pole, except it was a forklift.
You were so hype.
I was so hype. I mean, that's one of those moments that we've been hyping up. I said this in the recording. It's like a historical moment. It's like a canon event, you know?
And I'm upset that Vince Russo has just made it to where I can't enjoy that moment. I'm like, no, I hate all the other angles you're doing, yeah. And I'm upset about it.
Yeah, well. We did kind of talk about this the other night, where the further we watch in both Nitro and then on the Patreon and TNA, we are growing more and more hatred toward Bischoff. Yeah. And personally, I am becoming more forgiving of Vince Russo in a lot of senses, but not entirely. I'm not a Vince Russo apologist, don't say that. But Bischoff is significantly worse than Russo.
You almost swerved him, Emily.
I'm not. Nope. I will never.
So before we get into the backstage notes, because we can't do a weather report because there's no thunder before this.
We just did the show the night before, so how could there be thunder? Sunny days.
This show did a 2.4 rating to Raw's 5.9, which is the fourth lowest that we've ever reviewed. And, like, basically once the NWO forms, it's the fourth lowest, like, since that.
Yay. I mean, with this episode, like, I'm not surprised. And with the pay-per-view that we just came off of, I'm not surprised.
For the record, the lowest one we've ever done was the February 28th, 2000 Nitro, which had the episode description, "Welcome to the worst Nitro that we've ever watched."
What happened on that show? Do you remember?
If you want to find out what happened on that episode, you can listen to our back catalog.
Okay, we'll do that plug later. But do you remember what happened on that episode?
I looked at it, and I've already forgotten.
Yeah, when we just do it by the dates, like, who the hell remembers?
Emily, according to a quick Google search, the main event was Sid Vicious beating Tank Abbott.
Yeah, that tracks. Tank Abbott in the main event's the worst show for me.
All that said, I do have some backstage notes. In the competition news, Steve Austin will be back in about 8 weeks. So, just a reminder, they've been kicking their ass without Steve Austin.
Yikes, I did forget that.
ECW and the USA Network are negotiating, but the only spot they have right now is like 6 p.m. on Saturdays. And it's like,
yeah,
that's
not good.
Not for ECW.
No, God, no. That's bad for any show, I feel.
Apparently, WCW shows have done fine in that like time slot, but the fact that it's this big, edgy show, it's like not 6 p.m.
No, not prime time.
In some WCW news, there's some weird kind of contract stuff going on. Conan has had his salary cut due to him being injured.
Oh.
Despite the fact that he's been on every show.
That's wild.
Yeah, like that. Everyone's like, that's kind of bullshit.
That is bullshit.
And apparently Jim Duggan and Brian Knobbs have both been, like, officially cut.
I'm okay with that.
Jim Duggan 100% comes back.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I was kind of glancing stuff going forward, and, like, they cut people, and then they can immediately bring them back. Maybe it's on the, like, per appearance deal or whatever, but...
Maybe, but still. When was the last time we saw the Nasty Boys?
I think we noted the last time we actually would see Brian Knobbs... Was it technically before Reboot Nitro, but that he appeared in the group in Reboot Nitro, and you're like, there he is.
Yeah.
But that was April.
Jeez. and this is August.
Yeah.
Woof.
And Jim Duggan, last we saw, got murdered by Goldberg.
Yeah, I know Jim Duggan has had, like, shitty spots for a while now.
Well, it was him, you know, and his lack of a kidney.
Right, I forgot he, yes, I remember that storyline now. I'm just remembering him being, like, the janitor and the plumber and carrying him, a trash bag.
Him finding the television title in the trash.
Yeah, exactly.
In a different arena.
In a different state.
Yeah. It has been announced that WCW wrestlers will now be fined for actually being late, as opposed to kayfabe late.
Okay, that makes sense.
The first offense is a $500 fine.
Okay.
The second offense is a $1,000 fine.
Okay.
The third offense is a $2,000 fine. The fourth offense is a 30-day suspension. And the fifth time is termination.
Okay. Who has already violated this?
Well, apparently Kevin Nash has a clause in his contract that he can't be fined.
I'm going to scream.
I think he's already been late like twice since.
I really can't decide if I strongly admire Kevin Nash or if I want to punch his face.
Yeah.
Because there's something about his gall that I'm just like envious of.
And in some potentially triggering news, around this time, The Rock and Chyna are both scheduled to appear at the upcoming Democratic National Convention. This is also after The Rock appeared at the RNC.
So, yeah. Unity or something or whatever. I have like...
Rock doesn't see color.
I've ranted a lot about the DNC and RNC. I think it's, for our non-American people, it's the Republican National Convention and Democratic National Convention. It's basically turned into this like almost concert type vibe for Republicans on the ballot and Democrats on the ballot. And I think that that is so dystopian. I think that is so bizarre that we are literally turning political figures into celebrities and putting them on a stage and just...
We need to watch Idiocracy.
I think it's bizarre. This last election cycle was the first one to really hammer it in for me of like, this is fucking crazy.
I forget which appearance triggers a very bizarre criticism of The Rock, where it's someone like either with the Parents Television Council or adjacent calls The Rock a white skinhead. Yeah. It's like,
babe, you're missing...
The Rock doesn't see color. Sorry.
But
the Rock
also
transcends race. That's his own verbiage.
Is he bald in 2000? There's a time where he has hair.
No, he has hair. Yeah.
So you're missing both parts of that.
Like, tell me you don't watch the show. Tell me you don't watch the show. God, this is probably around the same time the Al Snow figures are... being pulled from shelves for having head with it. And they're like, it's a decapitated woman. It's like, watch the show.
It's a mannequin.
And then my final piece of, I'd say backstage notes, but it's actually front and center. Did you notice anything different about this Nitro?
Nope.
This is the first Nitro where there is not a logo in the center of the ring.
Oh, yeah. I did not notice this. You actually pointed this out while we were watching, and I didn't notice it.
It's funny. I only noticed, like, 3/4 of the way through, and I'd be like, wait, did this already happen? But, like, this is just a thing of Landstorm complain. It's like, yeah, people are going to keep fucking slipping on it.
And yeah, because I don't think about it being a different material. But, yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah, and they fixed it. I mean, they fixed it faster than they fixed the old fucking Nitro stage.
Yeah, well.
I feel like we just, like, casually missed the fact that they made that actually walkable now.
Yeah, the ramp is not cut off by a weird logo thing that trips all the women up.
Yeah. not just the women. Ric Flair was like, fucking fix that. Like, directly
to
camera.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, but that's all I got for backstage notes. And then I said, no weather report.
Bummer.
But with all that, let's get into this actual Nitro. We don't get a graphic or intro or anything. We just opened straight with asshole chants.
Oh, my God,
and
yeah.
Vince Russo and Tank Abbott are in the ring.
Yeah, we start off real cold.
What are you saying, bro? This is hot. This is how you start hot, bro.
I don't know about hot, but sure.
Russo says a month ago he made an example of somebody, and that piece of shit has been missing ever since.
Who could he be talking about?
Well, Emily, only two men have won the Royal Rumble from the number one position. No, he's talking about Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no kidding.
Actually, it's been way more since.
Oh, really?
There's been two more. Edge and Ripley have both won from number one in the past, like, 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, just the, like, let's talk about Hulk Hogan without saying Hulk Hogan. Russo says tonight he's going to make an example out of Goldberg, and he's here to fire Goldberg, but Brad Siegel says he can't because the fans love him. Okay.
Sure.
Russo says, screw the fans and screw Bill Goldberg. And did you catch Scott Hudson's line after that?
No.
He doesn't need the practice. Like, what?
What are you trying to imply?
I thought
it
was...
Are you trying to imply that Bill Goldberg fucks?
I think so. That was my takeaway. But, yeah, I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Russo says that Tank is here to kick Bill's ass and then calls out Goldberg, including citing their last match by like, yeah, that one in this arena, that was bullshit. Like, it was fake. Like, what the fuck, my guy?
Yeah, what are you implying? What are you... I don't like this.
Russo says that Goldberg thinks that if this were real, he could kick everybody's ass.
Is it a work or is it a shoot, brother?
Tony Schiavone is in peak form here. Opens with, what do you want me to say? I'm not calling this.
I fucking love... This Tony Schiavone is so relatable. Like, I don't want to do my job anymore, but I'm not allowed to quit.
Russo just keeps taunting Goldberg as Tony is even more over it. Russo insinuates that Tank will shoot fight Goldberg and then just tells commentary to go to break because Goldberg doesn't come out.
Cool.
By the way, we are like 2 minutes into the show, commercial break.
Yes. But that, like, adds to the shoot of it, right? Like, it's all real.
Back from commercial, Tony Schiavone just shrugs at the camera and is like, why are you shooting me?
Oh, my God.
Russo then grabs a headset and tells someone from the truck to show the damn fight. I'm like, okay.
What?
So, yeah, we see Goldberg and Tank Abbott shoot fighting. And the first thing we see is Goldberg absolutely whiffing a kick and Tank selling it.
Yeah, it's super real, though.
Actually, sorry. That's a lie. The first thing we actually see is an Irish whip. And that is already your kayfabe breaker.
So real. You know how when you get into a bar fight, you whip a guy around the bar, right?
A bar fight, I feel like if it's like condensed enough, you might be able to kind of throw somebody around. This is like they do the whole reverse pull the arm. Oh, yeah. Goldberg throws Tank around in a very pro wrestling style fashion. Russo flips off Goldberg and Goldberg like keeps going after him and then stopping. And then he goes to flip the announce table, which like moves a good bit. Tony's like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm done. I don't want to be part of this anymore.
Goldberg locks in an armbar on Tank and then just keeps kind of going after Russo. And Russo says, that's it. And we go to commercial again.
Is it a work or is it a shoot, brother?
It's literally my note.
Yeah. I mean, two commercial breaks and what's it been, like 5-6 minutes on air? That implies it is real. We can't show it. We got cold wait because things go wrong. Yeah, come on.
Emily, if a shoot has worked in the woods and no one is watching, did it really work?
There are no Hulk maniacs here.
I've never been here before. Ah, the show's not hot. Fucking Russo. Jesus Christ. I
remember earlier when I said that I don't hate Russo. I still don't. And this is just like, Russo's just like a kid with a little too much creative power. It's like when you play pretend, like when I was a kid and I played Barbie with my sister or my mom, and I had a storyline in my mind and they tried to adhere towards it and they kept fucking it up. And I was like, no, I get to call the shots.
That doesn't work for me, brother.
Literally. That's what Russo is doing. He's like, no, my Barbie dolls can't fight like this. They have to fight like this.
Oh, but Ken went against the script and Barbie had a miscarriage. And
Jesus Christ, stop.
Yeah, I feel almost silly for actually kind of liking the Bash of the Beach promo now in hindsight. Because right? I'm like, no, that like started something bad.
Oh, well, yeah. We knew that, though. And that's kind of like part of the lore of that promo was like, it's not good. It doesn't, it maybe in a vacuum, it's not bad, but in a wider scope, it's bad.
That said, that is all for Russo tonight. I was kind of surprised about that.
Yeah, me too. I thought he'd poke his stupid little head back out.
Don't worry. He's a fixture of the next few weeks of television.
Yay.
But again, I got so much left of him.
We're going to miss him when he's gone, I feel. I don't know. I think we're going to get bored.
I'm partially willing to accept that. We'll find ways to fill the time. It's like, well, he's gone. You're telling me, oh no, there's just going to be good matches.
Maybe. We'll see. Maybe we'll just have boring matches.
My hope is that, like, Rey Mysterio and Kidman are doing good work while the Titanic is sinking.
They're like the band that stays behind to play the ship into the ocean.
It's been an honor, gentlemen. We go from Russo telling to go to commercial to a Castrol GTX ad. And then Tony Schiavone tries to set up a wrestling show and is like, I don't know what the fuck to do here.
This isn't a wrestling show. Like, why are you watching? You know what you're watching.
Scott Hudson doubles down on Goldberg going against the script. And then they hype up that later on tonight, we're going to get Booker T versus Jeff Jarrett. And it's Jarrett's last chance at the title. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Okay.
That feels weird to have announced with, like, you know, an hour to go and not like, hey, next week or anything.
Right? Yeah. Like, that feels like something that should have been hyped up.
Yeah. But let's go to the ring. We get Shane Douglas and Tori Wilson coming out. Tori rocking a Randy Savage 1999 cosplay.
Hey, she looks great. We can't even fight her.
Oh, no, she does. But Shane Douglas's music just cuts out a little early, and he has a mic, and like, he's like weirdly pausing, and like, oh, okay.
And keep going.
It feels weird to have one of these not start with, cut the damn music. Douglas says Tori wants Kidman to basically suffer some more, and then brings out Reno. Douglas tells Kidman to come get franchised, and Kidman comes out, but then signals for Big Vito to come out.
My boy.
Shane Douglas is shocked for some reason.
Like, you knew that they teamed up last night. Yeah. I assume you watched. I assume you saw that.
He was in the segment. Oh, he was in the ring, yeah. Emily, his hanging was cut short by Big Vito.
Oh, right. Honestly, I know we've seen Reno, and I keep forgetting who the fuck Reno is.
Well, you know who has seen Reno? Big Vito. They've made eye contact, Emily.
Oh my god, the eye contact. Stop, I can't.
Prolonged eye contact.
Prolonged eye contact.
So everyone brawls to start, and this is a match, apparently. We miss Kidman diving onto Reno. Reno just watches Douglas and Vito do a little sequence in the ring as Kidman chases Tori around. Vito fights off Douglas and Reno for a second as the ref just watches the two heels in the ring. Which, yeah, I guess this is a tornado match because there is not a single tag or anybody waiting on the apron, so...
Fuck it. Yeah. You know, it's just... There are no rules. It sometimes feels like there are no rules. And, like, we've stopped calling DQ because we've all just given up.
Well, there also is the element of so many of these matches are gimmick matches that would not be DQable. Jarrett is rarely in any of them, and that is his offense, is edge of the chair.
That's true.
Kidman dives into both men without making a tag. Douglas stops a Kid Crusher, and Reno hits a crossroads. Vito, they have not named it yet, so that's what it is. Vito and Douglas fight to the floor, and Kidman hits a sky high, but gets crotched by Douglas going up top. Vito then hits a diving splash on Reno, and then gets the pin as Douglas, who crotched Kidman, did not have a move done to him, just kind of watched that happen.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, he just kind of watches himself lose.
It's like, all right, well, anyway.
Post-match, Douglas tries to handcuff Kidman to the top rope, but Vito stops him and handcuffs Shane Douglas to the ropes. Kidman and Vito then beat down Reno, Kidman hits a Kid Crusher, and then we get four large men in jeans coming out.
Whom I've deemed Team Jeans.
Three of them are matching. I think it's Chuck Palumbo who isn't, but it's the perfect event, and Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare, they're here to attack Kidman and Vito. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
They are all in different shades of light-washed denim. Three of them are in the same shade of light-wash, but one is a tiny bit darker, but they are all mitchy-matchy. Like, it's Team Jeans.
Scott Hudson calls this group the Green Mile, which I don't know if that's meant to be an in-joke or not.
You think?
That they're all green?
Well...
Stasiak's not.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, they're not all green.
Stasiak's the only one I'd say isn't.
There's one of the Jindrak O'Hares that you like.
Sean O'Hare's good, but he's still green.
Okay.
You can be talented and green. It is possible.
I feel like Chuck Palumbo's been here long enough that he shouldn't.
He really hasn't.
No?
He debuted as part of the New Blood with, like, the Lex Luger shit.
Yeah, and Lex Luger's been gone for what feels like forever.
Yeah, but that was, like, 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
That said, the Green Mile are good with Reno. Like, they embrace him, and Shane Douglas, like, gets out of Dodge. So, yeah. I don't know if Reno has joined this group or what. But
I don't know.
This was a strange match. Followed up by a post-match beatdown that I'm like, okay, maybe you'll explain it, but it just seemed random.
The match was barely a match, and the post-match angle was just confusing.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I believe maybe I'll find out why you're with Reno. Is he going to join your group? I mean, I keep half teasing it. I'm like, all right, I know there's a decent group of guys that are kind of this tier. called The Natural Born Thrillers. I don't know when the fuck that happens, though.
I'm assuming, I may be incorrectly, that Mike Awesome is part of The Natural Born Thrillers because he's the fat chick thriller. And, like, thriller, you know?
Okay, I like where you're at.
I'm wrong.
Mike Awesome has 1 or 2 weeks left of his fat chick thriller gimmick.
He barely got started with it.
They're about to massacre my boy, Emily.
Oh, no.
Now I'm sad.
I'm sorry. I thought I was making a good connection.
No, I see where your brain's at, but...
Vince Russo's brain was not there?
It might be a weird sideswipe at Hogan, because Awesome's related to him, but who the hell knows? Let's go backstage in the cat's office. The Filthy Animals chat with the cat. Disco wants a clip of some TV show he's on played later.
I feel like this was a, like, internal plug.
It did seem like that. And the cat just goes, fuck you.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not showing your shitty TV show.
The Filthy Animals then give the cat a personal assistant. Depending on which segment she's in, it's either Miss or Mrs. Jones.
I'm assuming it's Mrs. because of the song.
But if you're going to have somebody that is basically more or less presented as a prostitute, because the first thing she says is, I'll do anything.
Anything?
And it's like, yeah, so her being unmarried would be better.
Yes, that's true. But isn't it more scandalous to be with a married woman?
Emily, did I say we're done with Vincent? Please tell me I said we're done with him.
I think you did.
Because his real name is Mike Jones. And I'm like, fuck, are we going to do the cat and Virgil feud?
I don't think so. I think we're done with him.
I think I said we're done with him.
Yes, the song I was quoting is by Billy Paul. You wouldn't know it.
But yeah, so, I'm sorry, my note on this segment is fuck's sake.
Fuck's sake, indeed.
So yeah, the cat has a new easy assistant. Oh, God. Speaking of fuck's sake, David Flair is backstage still in his muddy clothes.
He never got changed from last night's, let's just call it a debacle.
Yeah, he's mumbling to himself. Major Guns comes up, asks about Stacy, and he just walks away. Back from commercial, David Flair comes out to the ring, grabs a mic, and oh my God, this man mumbles for about 4 minutes.
Imagine being in the audience for this.
And I say mumbles, like the cat mumbles.
Yes.
The cat's saying things.
Kind of.
David, he at least has story points he's meant to get across. David Flair is just, what happened to her? Nobody will tell me anything.
So it's mumbling, but it's also not saying anything of import.
Yeah.
He's just saying the same. He's like an NPC in a video game that you need to approach to get a mission. He has one line of dialogue that he just keeps repeating and he's pacing back and forth. You have to get to him and click the X to be like, oh, you're here. Have a mission.
You need to learn that David Flair took an arrow to the knee.
Literally.
God, how old is that reference now?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's like a 15-year-old reference, maybe?
I mean, I remember people making that joke when I was in high school. So, yeah, somewhere around there.
Well, while he's mumbling, they like try to show clips from the pay-per-view and he just talks over them or under them.
Under them.
Because commentary's also way louder than him while they're trying to like be like, what the fuck is this segment? We then see Major Guns backstage upset, like in the locker room. And David's kind of worried about Stacy is the general vibe. And he just walks in circles and rambles while he is just waiting for someone to come interrupt him.
Literally. Like I'm saying, he's an NPC just waiting for somebody to trigger the talk.
Major Guns gets in the ring, starts crying and apologizing. David then just keeps like screaming what happened.
So for those who don't remember, if you didn't listen to our last episode, this was the rip off the clothes match or rip off the camo match.
Thank you.
Sorry. Stupid either way. And in that match, Major Guns and Stacy were fighting and Stacy feigned stomach pains and they put her in an ambulance and it turned out that she might be having a miscarriage.
What do you mean,
yada,
feigns,
yada.
Emily? It was so real. So raw.
Anyway, she gets put in ambulance. She may or may not have been pregnant. There may or may not have been a miscarriage. David is distraught. Here we are.
Yeah, David is like grabbing her, just screaming, what did you do?
Yeah, and Major Guns feels a lot of guilt towards this.
Stacy comes out looking absolutely fine.
Clean, too. She was covered in mud.
Clean. But like also in like Stacy clothes, not Miss Hancock clothes.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing that happened last night was Tony Schiavone was like, Miss Hancock, also known as Stacy Keibler. So now everything is real. Fuck Miss Hancock. It's all shoot now, brother.
Stacy announces she's pregnant. David does a flare strut and that's it. Like what?
And then the crowd cheers, right? Or do they? I can't remember. The reaction was like weirdly mixed or.
Yeah, it was a weird, bad segment with poor line delivery. And then back from commercial, they're just backstage hugging and kissing. And
but yeah. Again, you've made the hot girl pregnant, which in the eyes of year 2000, that makes her no longer hot.
Yeah, this was just a weird segment in execution, largely because you're relying on Major Guns and David Flair
to convey a story. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Neither of which have, you know, lauded acting chops.
Yeah. Stacy, who is the best one of the three, has two lines. Get off her, I'm pregnant. That's it. That's all. Yay. She has here. Yeah, I guess Stacy's pregnant. Don't know. Yay. Why her stomach hurt.
I don't know. I've never been pregnant. I don't know. Maybe your stomach makes weird feelings. I don't know. Yay! So we didn't have a miscarriage angle. Just the idea of one.
Yeah.
That's better, right?
We just teased one.
Sure, that's better. God, kill me.
Save us, Lance Storm.
He won't.
He comes out to the ring, grabs a mic. If he can be serious for a minute.
Yeah.
Damn, it's good to be home and wrestling for true wrestling fans. Cuts a pretty standard anti-America promo.
Relatable.
Obviously to cheers, and then calls for the anthem. The Canadian anthem is interrupted by Ernest the Cat Miller in a trench coat, clearly hiding a referee shirt.
Not well, either.
No. The Cat then cuts a heel promo on the fans here and tells the crowd to kiss his American black ass. Cat then insults fat women and ugly kids in the crowd, and he calls Storm a Power Ranger, and the crowd chants kick his ass.
Agreed.
The Cat calls Storm lucky and says he used the Canadian House of Pancakes rulebook to help him win. Cat calls Storm a Power Ranger again and books Awesome versus Storm and says he'll shove the Canadian rulebook up his Power Ranger ass. By the way, that was a third Power Ranger reference, not
go, the go, previously Power mentioned Rangers. One. Was there a Canadian Power Ranger?
Pretty sure they're all Japanese.
What?
The Cat also says he has a special guest referee for the match.
Who could it be?
It's going to be a bad man, Emily. It's him. Ugh. Swerve.
What?
But we go directly into, for the Canadian title, Lance Storm versus Mike Awesome with special ref, The Cat.
Yeah, I was expecting this to be later in the show, so I was like, oh, it's now.
Awesome runs out to the ring, tries for big power moves, but Storm hits a super kick, and then The Cat slow counts. Awesome hits a running, jumping splash, and then throws Storm around ringside, hits a chair shot.
Nick, that's a DQ!
No, it's a steel chair right across his back. Fuck you, Scott Hudson.
That is a fuck verbatim you. Quote from commentary. That's a DQ. Nope, it's a steel chair. Is this the Krusty Krab? No, this is Patrick.
Awesome hits his vaulting splash back in the ring. And once both men are up, Storm pokes him in the eyes and very blatantly goes, drop kick. And drop kicks Awesome.
Great.
Like, leans in to do it, too. I'm like, bud, come on. I know you have short hair, but do better.
We're not even pretending anymore.
Well, Emily, it's a shoot. That's why.
So he shoot, everything's yelled, drop
a
kick?
Shoot. Everything's a shoot.
Shoot me.
Well, why would I watch fake wrestling matches if some of them were real?
What?
Well, if some of these are real fights, some of them are fake fights, why would I ever want to watch the fake fights, Emily? So they have to all be real.
Regardless, it's fucking stupid. Everything's bad. Why would you watch any of it? It's all bad.
Lance Storm hits a Northern Lights suplex, but Awesome follows up with a German. Awesome hits an Awesome Bomb and goes to pin Storm, who gets his foot on the ropes. The Cat goes to count anyway, but it's attacked by the Mountie. It's Jacques Rougeau. He pulls out the Canadian rulebook to Awesome, so Awesome tries to Awesome Bomb Rougeau. We then get Carl Ouellette. We'll talk about him in a fucking second.
You can't say his name, can you?
What
Carl Ouellette.
Ouellette.
Carl Ouellette. You made it all one word. Carl Ouellette.
Sorry, I think I may have mumbled it a little bit because I am laughing about him in modern day.
Yeah.
Because he is the future PCO who just went into business for himself and destroyed a TNA title.
Is it a work or is it a shoot, brother?
It's a shoot.
Yeah, that was a shoot. That one was real.
He's also the former Jean-Pierre Lafitte and Quebecer Pierre. But he comes out, he attacks Awesome, hits a Uranagi and goes up top and hits an assisted cannonball with Jacques Rougeau to Mike Awesome. The Cat takes out the extra men as Storm has Awesome in the Canadian Maple Leaf. Like, Awesome is dead here.
Yeah.
Primetime player Elix Skipper runs out and after a second just attacks the Cat. It's
like, who the fuck is Elix Skipper?
He hits the overdrive on him and Rougeau calls for the bell and a Lance Storm victory. Scott Hudson says, I didn't hear Mike Awesome submit. The man is unconscious.
He can't submit. He's knocked out.
That said, Elix Skipper recently debuted. I mentioned he was Skip Over. But we talked about him being the primetime player and that being his moniker. But like,
now, hold on a minute, player.
As in the team name Darren Young and Titus O'Neil use in WWE, the primetime players.
Okay. That sounded familiar.
Yeah. But yeah, he's very new to the roster. The four men pose in victory. His commentary is like, is Elix Skipper Canadian? We don't fucking know.
Let's assume for the sake of story, yeah.
Miss Jones helps the Cat to the back. And then back from commercial, Pamela Prince Edward Island asks Lance Storm.
Sorry?
Pamela Paulshock, but I was trying to figure out, is there a Canadian province that starts with a P?
Oh my God.
And it's Prince Edward Island. She asked Lance Storm, what in the world is going on here?
Are you creating a Canadian army?
What are we, some kind of suicide squad? Storm says that if the U.S. wants a war, they'll give them one. And he establishes Team Canada. Storm then gives whoever. He gives Carl the hardcore title and gives Skipper the 100 kilograms and under title.
And this is just... cool. This is fine. Now they are the holders of the titles.
The Cat comes in with a baseball bat and says the two will defend their titles later on tonight.
What the fuck was Lance Storm thinking?
In terms of this whole segment, I like the match as a way to set up Lance Storm's new group.
Yes.
It worked well in that. I'm not huge on the here's a free title.
Exactly. Thing. Yeah. That's weird.
But like, hey, it's not a finger poke. And yeah. Lance Storm doesn't have to job and like do a weird hot potato thing, so.
I guess.
So, I'm like, okay, that's something. That said, Emily, this is the final appearance of Jacques Rougeau in WCW.
Yeah, that tracks.
Jacques Rougeau signed with the note, like, okay, I am not going to be doing any jobs on TV. And he went to Thunder and they went, we want you to job to the Cat. And he went, bye.
Good for him. You wanted a job to the Cat? Fuck you.
So, yeah, Jacques Rougeau, no longer part of Team Canada. And we'll talk about more why when we get there. But this is Carl Ouellette's one night in the company.
Jesus Christ. So Team Canada.
Yes.
Doing really well. We're back to a one-man team over here.
Elix Skipper sticks around.
Oh, okay. But we haven't confirmed that he's Canadian.
We'll get there.
Oh, God.
In this show, they note it.
Do they?
Yes, they talk about it extensively throughout his match and constantly, like, upgrade and downgrade him. It's strange.
Oh, God.
Let's move on with very little fanfare. It is a WCW title match. It is a rematch of the main event from the pay-per-view last night. It's Booker T versus Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, this is the one that's like, oh, it's Jeff Jarrett's last chance at the belt. And they didn't give this any hype. They didn't even give this a package. Like, nothing to be before this match.
Oh, my next note answers your question. As Jeff Jarrett comes out, they're like, oh, well, Elix Skipper is Canadian and played in the CFL.
Oh, yes. For some reason, I forgot that CFL was Canadian Football League. I thought it was like XFL, like Central Football, whatever. I don't know.
So in this actual match, they stall a little bit before locking up and start pretty standard with Irish whips. Booker counters a hip toss and hits a clothesline. Jarrett ducks a kick, but runs into a Glargay sleeper. Jarrett gets out with a low blow. Sure.
Yay.
Jeff goes up top for a diving crossbody, but Booker rolls through, and then they brawl around ringside for a second. Commentary keeps noting, oh man, after this, Jeff Jarrett's never going to get to wrestle for the WCW title again. What if he wins?
Right?
What if he wins? Sorry, actually, you can't defend the title. This is your last
shot. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Like, they originally frame it like, this is last shot to win it. But in the match, they're like, never again, guys.
Hope you had fun.
I didn't, actually. Thanks for asking.
Oh, well, bummer.
Jarrett locks in a chin lock. Booker almost powers out, but Jarrett gets him back down. Booker eventually powers up, hits a flying forearm, and Jarrett just blatantly goes for his guitar, but Booker gets him in position for the bookend. Jarrett knees out, but Booker hits a Harlem sidekick. Booker grabs Jarrett's guitars and swings, but Jarrett pulls referee Mickey J right in the way. I guess also should be a DQ.
Should be, but fuck it.
Booker hits a spine buster kind of carefully. I don't know if you caught this. I think he was like, he picked him up and was like kind of looking, where can I put him down that isn't on top of guitar bits?
Yeah, it was a little ginger. It was a little like, take care of your boy.
He goes for the pin, which like Charles Robinson is instantly there for.
The man knows his moments.
Didn't that happen last night too? Where Jarrett went for a pin and Charles Robinson was there way early?
I don't remember.
It definitely did because we referenced Charles' running at WrestleMania 24 and him always sprinting down to the ring.
I thought that was a shot of him running, though.
Booker hits a scissor kick and a spinneroonie. Jarrett ducks a Harlem sidekick, and Booker has hurt his knee. Jarrett hits a stroke and very much delays in his pin, and the pin is interrupted by Goldberg. Charles Robinson calls for the DQ.
So we do still have DQs.
Goldberg throws Jarrett into the crowd, into some plants, but, like, Jarrett clearly clips a security guard on the way out who looks pissed.
Oh, my God. He is so pissed. He is clearly not a fan. He is just here doing his job and does not like whatever he is working for.
Goldberg grabs a mic and tells Russo, one down, two to go. Russo's next, but who the fuck are the two? Because commentary's like... Well, Russo's not one of them. So
we're all theorizing on who the three total were. No one fucking knows.
Well, Jarrett, or actually, shit, is it Jarrett or is it Tank?
I don't know.
Was the one?
I don't know. I don't know who the three are.
If anything, it's two down, three to go.
It was never established.
Yeah, so more with Goldberg later, but thoughts on this match and portion?
I mean, okay, so does this count as Jarrett's last chance at the title because the match was DQ'd?
I had the same thought. I'm like, so either Jarrett got absolutely fucked here, or it wasn't his last chance.
I don't fucking know, man.
Technically, he won.
Technically, he by won DQ. Yeah. But if it was still, they didn't say it's his last chance unless he wins. It was just, it's his last chance, period.
Yeah, but the spirit of that stipulation is...
That's not what they said, though.
I don't get why you couldn't just have Booker win with interference rather than, like, him, like... You had him visually be beat.
I don't fucking know.
Like, why don't you care about getting him over anymore? Let's go backstage. Pamela Papa Pumpkins is with Scott Steiner in chainmail.
Yeah, this is the first time we're seeing the chainmail, right?
It's not the first time, because we were asked it was the first time a few weeks ago, but it's the first time since then.
So it's still not a regular fixture. It's not like his thing yet.
Steiner tries to shush Pamela by putting his finger entirely in her mouth.
So you prepped me for this, but you made it seem more like it was an accident. Like he put his finger up to her mouth like a shush and it just like slipped in. No, he full finger in mouth. Like, I kind of loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
Steiner says, you're beautiful, so just stand there.
Again, do I love Scott Steiner or do I hate him?
Steiner says Goldberg ran because he's a scared little bitch. And then says he's going to rip out Nash's vocal cords and shove them up his ass, giving new meaning to the phrase, talking shit.
See, that's clever. That's
excellent. No notes.
No notes. That was kind of incredible. From top to bottom, that was great.
Our next match, it's Carl the Rave Ouellette.
The Rave?
That's what they call him.
Sure.
Versus, not necessarily returning, we haven't seen him in a little while, it's Norman Smiley.
Can you explain why he's here? For this match?
Well, he's here for his Saskatchewan Hardcore and International title match. And during Ouellette's entrance, we get a big blank square graphic over his body. No Ralphus with Norman.
No, we said Ralphus was gone.
I know. I was hoping I was wrong. I was hoping because I knew we didn't have any more matches with him. But I'm like, I can't really. He's there with him. Like, no.
No, he's done. He's back to driving the truck.
But yeah, Norman's here. He doesn't want this match.
Then why are you doing it?
Like, just lay down then.
Oh my God. Like, we know that that's an option.
Yeah, it wasn't like he tried to lay down and they got beat up. Okay, no. I'm going to fight back. It was like, nope, I guess I have to wrestle this match.
We're not giving enough time to the graphic issue, though. I thought that was fucking hilarious. So they have obviously a graphics glitch where when the name card comes up for like the title plate, that's blank. But along
His name is
was
in there.
Was his name on it?
Yes. That's what makes it even weirder, is the fact that the big square over his body was blank.
Oh my God. So bad.
Ouellette beats Norman down in the ring, and I'm like, oh, I guess this doesn't have to start in the back. Commentary does actually note this and writes it off.
That?
Well, commentary notes like, oh, I guess it doesn't have to. Well, that's because it's Canadian rules.
Okay.
And later on, Tony points out, well, wait, I thought the Canadian rules were there's no weapons.
You can't keep up with your own stupid kayfabe shit.
The Rave throws Norman around ringside and then grabs a table and a few other weapons to slide into the ring. Ouellette baseball slides a trash can into Norman and then hits a rope-assisted somersault plancha. Back in the ring, Norman hits a low blow with a mop. Ouellette hits a running lid shot and sets up a table in the corner. The Rave hits a rope attack and signals it's table time. Norman hits a wind-up slam and then a big wiggle, so Ouellette hits a headbutt to the groin. Ouellette then sets up the table properly. I'm like, why did we even do the weird middle steps?
Yeah, who knows.
And then hits a sit-out spine buster next to it.
Sure.
Norman gets laid out on the table, and the finish of this match is he goes to grab Charles Robinson, who's like, get off me, and he goes to pull away, which accidentally pulls Norman up, while Carl Ouellette is hitting a diving like splash or whatever. So Ouellette crashes through the table, and then Norman falls back, landing on top of him, and gets the win.
Sure.
Norman does not want the belt, and is upset by this.
Cool.
And that's the last appearance of Carl Ouellette.
What a run he had. Let's talk about his whole run in WCW.
His thing is actually more legitimate. He actually ran into, like, visa issues.
Oh, okay.
Which they actually just fully explain next week. They're like, yeah, they don't get him sorted out, or they didn't bother to get him sorted out, or whatever, but...
Yeah, they didn't have enough for him to make it worthwhile.
I think there probably also is an element of he is buddies with Jacques Rougeau, so when you piss off Jacques Rougeau, I wonder how motivated he is to be like...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a visa problem. Bummer. I guess I'm not working for you.
Well, I believe the visa problem is real. Yeah. It just might not be everybody working all that hard at that point.
No, I believe that the visa problem is real. I see that as Carl Ouellette taking the easy route out of like, oh, I don't have to quit anymore. I just can't work for you because visa.
Yeah, there also is the element of Jacques Rougeau didn't want to do any jobs because he was like forming his own promotion up in mm-hmm. Canada. So it wouldn't shock me if Ouellette goes there.
Yeah, for sure.
As a match, though, this was fine. Nothing special.
It was pretty forgettable.
We glossed over it, but commentary was just talking about Goldberg the whole fucking time.
I am fully in the phase of just tuning commentary out. They're not saying anything of substance 90% of the time. It's not worth it.
Backstage, the cat is pleased, and he needs to find someone to wrestle for the Cruiserweight title tonight. And we pan over to see Kiwi and Papaya.
I wonder who will be fighting for the Cruiserweight title.
Elsewhere backstage, Pamela Paulshock is with big sexy Kevin Nash. Nash says Russo should be drug tested, and he doesn't get why he won last night and then has to defend the number one contendership tonight against Scott Steiner.
Yeah, did we establish that that's a match for tonight?
Them saying it here is it being set up.
So this isn't really a good place for this segment to be. Kevin Nash, seemingly out of the blue, is just angry. The audience has no idea what he's angry about.
Yes, and the reason for the match is apparently Russo says Steiner deserves a second chance. There's a buddy of mine in Orlando right now who deserves a... Shut the fuck up, Kevin Nash.
We get
I'm so fucking sick of you.
We get it. You're in love with Scott Hall. It's cute. We get it.
And genuinely, I have to ask, is it a work or is it a shoot? Because... WCW has no plans to bring him back, and it really just seems like Kevin Nash is going, if I keep saying it enough, they'll have to.
I think it's a shoot.
Nash then says no to the match with Steiner and is like, I'll face Booker later, and if he doesn't want to do it, I'll fill TV time other ways.
Like, I'm not facing Steiner, fuck that. The only person I'm wrestling is Booker T.
Yeah.
And he's right, and he doesn't. How, if you're not... taking note of every week by week like we are, how are you keeping up with this? How are you tracking this? If you're just like a casual watcher week to week, how do you keep up with what the fuck is going on? especially live. Like, we have at least internet archives and backstage notes to give us a little bit more of a hint, but in August of 2000, you're watching this. How do you fucking know?
Fucking hate Kevin Nashman.
But do you love him or do you hate him? I can't decide.
By the way, I have a hunch that they have, like, no cut contracts.
Probably.
Well, oh, fuck, they do eventually cut Scott Hall. He's technically still getting paid.
Oh.
That's partially why, is because I know Goldberg ripped up the contract in kayfabe, but, like, no, he's technically still on the injured list.
Wait, so that contract wasn't real?
I know.
That's crazy.
Let's move on from one shooting segment to, there's some shooting going on in this next portion, but we'll get there.
Jesus.
The Filthy Animals come out to the ring and Conan does his mic thing.
Olale!
Feel that.
That's enough. He hits all the greatest hits.
Conan shit talks Chronic and says they're only good for three things. Do you know what they are?
I don't remember.
Lifting weights, peeling our potatoes, and helping Richard Gere count his gerbil collection.
That's a 2000s joke.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think peeling potatoes means? What is that innuendo?
I don't even know.
Is it jerking off?
But it's peeling our potatoes.
Yeah. That was the thing. Are they trying to say that, like, Chronic jerks, like, is only good for, like, pleasuring them? I don't know.
But
I was thinking of the motion of peeling a potato, and I'm like, that's kind of phallic.
But Emily, more importantly, Chronic don't got it like that.
We got it like that. Like what?
Chronic then come out to join commentary, and immediately they're like, yeah, our real beef's with the Harris Boys. I'm like, then why are you out here for this match?
Right.
As the tag champs make their entrance, the Harris Boys attack Chronic from behind.
And now there's Nazis again.
Yeah. But this match is Juventud Guerrera and Rey Mysterio versus Vampiro and the Great Muta for the WCW Tag Team titles. And I'm like,
wait, so then why the fuck are Chronic here and why are the Nazis here? Like, what was the whole point?
Well, Chronic are the former champs. They're here to do commentary. And the Harris brothers don't like them, so they keep attacking them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hate it here.
We hear the bell ring as Chronic and the Nazis keep brawling. Rey is wrestling in his devil horns.
Isn't that a safety concern?
Yeah. Conan hops on commentary and is really talking Mexican strategy.
What's their Mexican strategy?
It's whatever the fuck they feel like.
Sure.
You know, Carlos, he's got it like that.
Who the fuck is Carlos?
Conan.
His name is Carlos?
Yeah. Don't you remember last night, Mark Madden only referred to him as Carlos and does it again here?
I thought that... Oh, is that his, like, actual name?
Yes, kind of.
Okay, I thought that he was calling him Carlos as, like, a racist joke. I didn't think it was his real name.
I said, Conan is fucking drenched here. I don't know why.
What? He didn't wrestle.
Muta hits his flaily elbow, starts working over the leg of Rey. Vampiro catches Rey on a vault over, but Rey slips out, hits a low blow. Muta hits a suplex, and Vampiro hits a tossing powerbomb. Vampiro throws Rey to the floor, and Muta hits a chair shot on Rey. Full view of the ref.
Sure.
Muta holds Rey, but it's the one thing they didn't want to happen.
No.
And Vampiro kicks Muta. Rey hits a big pop-up facebuster and then makes the tag to Hoovy. Hoovy gets vaulted into a dropkick on Muta and then a springboard dropkick to Muta and a wheelbarrow bulldog to Vampiro. Vampiro breaks up a roll-up on Muta and we get a messy double-team spot as, like, Hoovy just kind of hands Rey to Vampiro to get hit with the nail in the coffin. I'm like, what was that for?
Yeah.
And while that happens, Hoovy gets misted by the Great Muta.
Aside from that weird Rey spot and the ending, Hoovy does have some good moves here. Like, he was kind of impressive.
Yeah. My honest takeaway from this match pissed me off. Because I'm like, yeah, Rey and Hoovy can still wrestle. Yeah. Why do you have him doing bullshit?
Like, literally. You kind of forget that these people are talented because they are doing such stupid gimmick shit.
We then get Sting's music hitting, and the lights mostly go out, and he attacks the Dark Carnival mostly in the dark with a baseball bat, then disappears. Disco Inferno at ringside pushes Rey onto Muta, and the Filthy Animals win the tag titles.
All right.
Yeah.
Back on the Animals. Let's go.
I am hoping that maybe this will lead to some good matches.
I hope so.
You can have Rey and Hoovy just wrestle tag matches. I'm fine with that. But, yeah, the Disco and Conan element of all this makes me think it's going to be a bunch of bullshit with this. But
if we are strictly looking at what is in the ring for this, this was a good match.
It was
I
fine.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was surprising on this card. Like, this card sucks.
Yeah.
Bad. But, like, this alone wasn't that bad.
No, because it's four guys who can work. I know Muda's on the decline here,
yeah,
but it's
Muda's
like...
garbage. But he can be carried.
I know we don't have a ton of time left with him either.
With Muda?
Yeah.
Good. He doesn't look like he should be still in the ring. But with all the stupid stuff going on ringside and the inclusion of the Harris brothers, like, that's what kills this.
Oh, God. We mentioned a few weeks ago, like, they sold out this tour of Australia. I'm like, I think that's the one Hoovy gets fired over.
Ooh.
He does a bunch of drugs and
sure.
goes on a bender.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I guess he was here. But backstage, the Dark Carnival, including the demon, Dale Torborg.
Dale Torborg?
They want a match with Sting. The Cat agrees.
Sure. Good old Torborg.
Technically, we only have two matches left, even though they advertise it as kind of three. But next up is our 100 kilogram and under title. It's Elix Skipper versus Kiwi with Papaya.
I don't even know what to say about this because Elix Skipper is such a nothing blip to me at this point, and Kiwi is just confusing.
Yeah. Kiwi carries his wife to ringside.
Awkwardly. It's like he didn't realize how heavy she was or like didn't prepare himself for like the picking up nature of it. It looks very uncomfortable. It doesn't look natural.
No. Well, she's also like taller than him.
She's taller than him, yeah.
The two start with like rough chain wrestling, like trying to get some like realism there. Skipper hits a belly to belly and then another. Kiwi hits a snap back suplex. Then Kiwi suplexes Skipper into the corner turnbuckle, leaving him in a tree of woe. Kiwi throws Skipper to the floor and both are just covered in glitter.
Yes. There's glitter everywhere.
I don't know how legitimate it is, but I heard the other day that basically all glitter is manufactured by two companies.
I believe that.
Yeah. Elix Skipper tries for a vault over Hurricane Rana back in the ring, but Kiwi counters. But Skipper jumps over the ropes on a Kiwi charge, sending him to the floor. Elix Skipper hits a corkscrew vault to the floor, and then Matrix dodges in the ring, which gets the crowd hyped.
Commentary calls Kiwi Harley Race with really good fashion sense. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. Did commentary do it, or did Mark Madden do
it? I don't remember if it was Mark Madden or Scott Hudson. It's not Tony.
I feel like it's Mark Madden.
It might be.
And I just tune his shit out now.
But comparing him to Harley Race, I'm like, yikes, really?
I remember you liking the Matrix dodge, though.
I did. That was very impressive. That was cool.
Skipper hits a full Nelson suplex. His commentary just starts perving over Papaya. It's like, ooh, a short skirt. I'm going to drop a quarter.
Ew.
I literally almost slipped into Jerry Lawler there just out of, like, habit.
Drop a quarter. That was a terrible Jerry Lawler.
Skipper hits a second rope crossbody and then a diving missile dropkick. Skipper crashes in the corner and Kiwi tries for a delayed suplex, but Elix Skipper counters in the air and turns it into a DDT. Elix Skipper then pulls a ring from his pocket and puts it on. Commentary notes that it might be a Grey Cup title ring.
What the fuck is that?
I meant to actually look into this. It's meant to be like the Canadian championship, like you have a Super Bowl ring.
Oh, okay, like CFL, because you said that he's a football player, right?
Yeah, he's not. Okay. He's not, actually. That's complete bullshit, by the way.
Well, whatever. Story, kayfabe, fuck it.
Now, he has put on this ring that he can win with. Elix Skipper then hits forearms.
Sure.
I was like, what? Why?
Why wouldn't you punch?
Kiwi hits a blue thunderbomb. Skipper then actually, like, hits a punch with the ring and wins.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You could have done that four moves ago.
Yeah, it felt like they like almost botched a spot where he should have gone for the punch and like Kiwi ducked it. But like, you went for this, I'm going to grab the back of the head forearm. Like, that's not a dodgeable spot like that.
Yeah.
Post-match, Kiwi attacks the ref like really aggressively and then reverts back to being Kiwi because split personality.
Right. I forgot we're doing split personalities.
Man, it wouldn't be WCW if there wasn't stupid bullshit surrounding a... Honestly... I really like this match.
This is a good match.
I know.
This is a good match.
Like, I hate that the finish had the weird timing to it, but
yeah.
Like, who the fuck would have thought, like, if I had told you, hey, we're going to do Elix Skipper versus Kiwi on this show, you'd
and
be
it's
like,
going to be the best match on the card.
Well, you'd be like, all right, I know where I'm taking a piss.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But it's the same thing with, like, would you have ever guessed that we would have given the Viagra on a pole match the best bit of the show?
No, like.
For the wrestling?
I... obviously the one is better, but like this is in that category of the Mexican hardcore match where it's just like, here's a nothing match. What the fuck?
Yeah, literally. This is good. Literally. And that's why I'm watching WrestleMania over on the Patreon, because I have those little matches that nobody talks about that are sleeper hits.
Did this match do enough to get you to kind of be loosely interested in Ilya Skipper?
I mean, maybe. We'll see. I think I need one more match.
As mentioned before, I have the bias of him doing the coolest spot in TNA history in my brain. So I'm like, okay, you get more benefit of the doubt than others. However, I'm not sure he can cut a promo. So there's that.
Yeah, we'll see.
I haven't heard it really either way, but yeah, we'll see.
Hey, not every wrestler needs to be able to cut a promo. I didn't know that Brock Lesnar wasn't fucking German for years because he didn't talk. And that's okay.
Speaking of two people who shouldn't be cutting promos, we see Sting and Goldberg backstage.
Goldberg!
And during the entrances of our next match, Mark Madden has an announcement that he has been teasing all fucking night.
Oh my God.
He is challenging Mean Gene to a match on Thunder.
That's it. That's the whole announcement. He has been teasing this of like, oh, I have news. Oh, I've got news later. You don't change the channel because I have this big announcement. Okay, thanks.
But our next match, it is a Four Corners match. It is Sting versus Vampiro versus the Great Muta versus the Demon, Dale Torborg.
Dale Torborg?
Sting dominates the Demon to start. Vampiro has no face paint on.
Yeah, it almost looks like he went back and washed his face. Like, there's nothing on his face.
Like, admittedly, if that backstage segment wasn't right after his match, I would have thought, did you forget you had another match?
Oh, maybe.
Unless that was a pre-tape, and he did actually forget.
He might have.
Muta and Vampiro double team Sting with strikes. Sting eventually gets to his feet, hits a Stinger splash on Muta, and then locks in a Scorpion Deathlock on the Great Muta. Vampiro grabs a kendo stick, but the Demon grabs it, says he wants to do it. The Demon then cracks Vampiro across the back, and Muta gives up, giving Sting the win.
This is a wildly quick Four Corners match.
Yes. Also, just a weirdly quick turn. I mean,
yeah.
It was built too, but it just... It seemed weird that you turn on Vampiro and Muta loses.
Right?
Post-match, Sting and the Demon stare down until the Demon leaves the ring. Vampiro then attacks the Demon with a kendo stick, and the heels beat the other two down. Vampiro and Muta then drag Sting to the back, and we go to commercial. And when we come back, I am 90% sure they were trying to fucking embalm Sting.
Oh?
They had a spike to, like, stab him in the chest.
Oh, God. Yeah. I missed that. I'm going to have my head down.
They're like, was that a spike? And I'm like, once again, Vince Russo reusing shit. I'm like, were you just about to do a fucking embalming angle?
Oh, my God.
The Demon saves Sting with a baseball bat. Like, but like, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah, that was wild. I can't believe I missed the embalming.
I'm so fucking done with this story.
There's nothing to it anymore. They're just carrying it on for no good reason.
Emily, we will see him again, and we will do our goodbyes then, but this is the last match for the Demon, Dale Torborg.
Dale, no! That's okay. I've been waiting for this.
We'll do our proper goodbyes, and I think it's 2 weeks. We have a final segment that is a goodbye to him and Tank Abbott. So it's like,
oh, thank God.
I don't even know that I want Sting to face Vampiro. I think I'd rather just be like, let's everybody move on.
Honestly, yeah. Let's just pretend this didn't happen.
And speaking of pretending this didn't happen, we are kind of going to do a main event.
Kind of.
Kevin Nash comes out to the ring with a cardboard box.
Oh, my God.
Commentary notes, they have no idea what's about to happen. And Nash grabs a mic, hypes up the crowd, and says he sees a lot of Scott Hall signs. And we get some We Want Scott chants.
Did you see any Scott Hall signs?
I think I saw one.
I didn't see any.
Nash then says WCW decided Scott Hall was too dangerous for live TV.
Sure.
So he pulls out a cardboard cutout of Scott Hall.
Why?
He tries to stand it up, but like there's no brace for it.
Yeah, because it's a cardboard cutout.
Well, no, there's meant to be a way to stand this thing up.
I think there was a stand, but it's so flimsy.
Yeah. He's here to interview Scott Hall.
Sure.
He holds the mic to the cutout at the start, and I don't know how many of these were Mark Madden, how many of these were production fuck-ups, but we hear the Hey Yo line, I think, 5 times?
Oh my God, yeah. Because Kevin Nash does it, commentary does it, the audience does it, no, then we all do it again.
I think they're piping in a Hey Yo, and they fuck it up a couple times.
Oh God.
Nash makes fun of the NWO shirt on the cutout, being like, yeah, I think that died for the third time a while ago.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Nash then does a survey, and he does the survey wrong.
Hmm.
So the old Scott Hall survey is, who came here to see WCW? Who came here to see the NWO?
Yeah.
Two opposing options.
Sure.
Nash's options are, who wants to see Scott Hall back? And
yay,
who wants to see the people who are keeping Scott Hall from you kiss my ass?
Yay!
Which I guess in
it's
that
a
one,
yay to both.
Well, no,
right?
I guess Scott Hall doesn't come back in option B. They just kiss his ass.
I don't know. I don't think he thought this through.
Nash then says, live TV is beautiful, isn't it?
Sure.
Nash then calls out Booker. Booker comes out in dress pants, no top on him, breaking his mother's heart. He's attacked from behind by Scott Steiner. Steiner attacks Nash as well, until we see Goldberg holding Medeja backstage on the big screen. Goldberg says he tells the kids not to hit a lady, but any bitch who's been with you ain't no lady. He then lifts Medeja to put her through a table with a jackhammer, and we cut to the Nitro graphic.
And that's just how it ends.
No, Steiner runs the back, finds Medeja in a pile of table, and then yells for Goldberg. And that's how we leave it.
What a wild ending. Again, imagine being in the audience. That's how you're going to send the audience home?
Yeah, clearly one or multiple of these parties were not comfortable with Goldberg putting Medeja through a table.
Oh, because he didn't. He definitely, like, went for the move and then put her down and then broke the table and then put her in it. Like,
yeah, he
she
lifts
laid
her.
Down
yeah.
into it.
That said, stop trying to make Scott Hall happen. It's not going to happen.
No, can we be done with this? It's exhausting. Like, I know Kevin Nash has more to offer than just being a shill for Scott Hall.
You say that. Does he?
He's got to. He does. He has. This isn't the end of his career. He has more.
Yeah, and what does he do in TNA, Emily?
Doesn't he go back to WWE at some point?
Yeah, with Scott Hall.
Yeah. And be your own person, at least. The thing is, like, if the roles were reversed, I don't trust that Scott Hall would be this kind of a shill for Kevin Nash.
Well, Scott Hall can wrestle.
People also believe that Kevin Nash can wrestle to an extent.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't. I'm not one of those people,
well,
but some people believe
we
that.
We did encounter in WrestleMania Watchthrough. He does have the best match at back-to-back WrestleManias.
He does, unfortunately.
I think that's his only two WrestleMania matches, too.
He's got something. There's something to him.
Yeah, you just described why they put the belt on him for a year. There's something. We got a year to figure it out. Any thoughts on this closing main event? Or lack thereof.
Yeah, this wasn't a main event. This is just a terrible way to go off the air.
Thoughts on this show as a whole?
It wasn't the worst thing we've ever watched, but damn is it close. It's so shoddily put together. There's no thought that was put into this show as a whole. It's just slapped together.
Yeah, this is a god-awful show.
Yes.
Like, unfortunately, there's actually a few decent things on here, but, like, the lows are so damn low these
days.
They
are, yeah. And when the lows are so low that when the median is met, it's like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking Queeby match, it wasn't stellar, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
Well, I'd cite that more to the tag title match that are like,
true,
yeah,
sure.
It's something.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't see any women get beat up. Minimal swerves.
Nice. I'll take that.
But, oh man, I am happy the Russo bullshit was contained to one segment, but I don't have a lot of belief in his restraint on that going forward.
Oh, no. Especially if we know that his days are numbered moving forward. He's just going to, you know, do everything on his way out.
Well, he doesn't know his days are numbered.
Oh, does he get fired?
No. I guess it's not really spoilers. He suffers a concussion and then just stays home and never gets brought back.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like the softest quitting. I think, like, technically he's under contract until the company dies. I don't think he actually gets fired.
He's the inventor of quiet quitting.
Pretty much. That said, we are going to have potentially a struggle with some of these, but
yeah.
Let's go into best bit, worst bit, and MVP. Emily, let's start with the easy one. What's your best bit?
I guess it's the Queewee match.
Yeah, Queewee, Elix Skipper.
Elix Skipper, yeah, I guess it's that. I also put the Steiner promo for the lulz.
Yeah, it's too short, I think is the problem.
Short. Yeah, it's got to be the Elix Skipper Queeby match. That's it. That's all there is.
Yeah. Emily, what is your worst bit on this show?
Oh, my God. If I said the whole show was the worst bit, would you fight me on that? Or do you have a bit that you think is the worst?
I think that is a totally acceptable answer, and I will take it as your answer. I think there's still a handful of things that are fine on this show, so I'm not gonna. The problem is, again, the lows are so bad.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to give it to, we started on the absolutely wrong foot. I'm going to give it to the opening segment with Vince Russo. We're shooting here, bro. Oh, fair. It's so real, bro. And then, because also, what the fuck are you supposed to do with the rest of the show?
Right.
You're acknowledging that these guys are having a real fight. So everything else we saw was bullshit. So your worst bit is the whole slow death of the show. I'm giving it to the gunshot wound in the start of the show.
Okay. That's valid. I mean, you're giving it to what creates the show being the worst bit. Okay. Valid. I need to know who you picked as MVP before I say mine.
Elix Skipper, I guess.
I don't know, man. I'm struggling with MVP. I have a streak, and I can't break that streak. I'm considering breaking that streak.
For this, though.
I know, and that's what's bothering me. Ugh. Honestly, because the options are so... It's slim pickings for options.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give it to a person who's kind of becoming one of my boys. I fucking love Vito.
Oh, shit.
Vito is my man.
Dude, he's and you know what? Canada. I don't get
and
it.
And he's doing great. His portion of his match was great. He did his job. He came out and he was fine. And he's getting the crowd behind him. He's here and he's kicking it. And I love Vito. I want more of him.
Also, he's like meant to be from Staten Island. Like, that's one of the furthest points you can get where they are in Canada. Because they're in Western Canada. So he's over there somehow.
He's great.
You know, I honestly just think you want to have eye contact with him.
Prolonged eye contact.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. So Vito and Elix Skipper.
Sure.
Lock it in. That's going to do it for the first Nitro after New Blood Rising. Aren't you excited to get to Fall Brawl?
Fall Brawl. No, I'm not. I don't know anything that's going to happen on Fall Brawl. I have no reason to keep watching. Again, if I was watching in real time, what would make you watch next week?
But yeah, next up is the August 21st, 2000 Monday Nitro. If you want to listen to some of the better times, or hey, like I said, there were four Nitros that were rated worse than this. You want to go back and listen to them, you can on our back catalog, everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud. I think we're picking up the pace a little bit over on social media. At Butts in the Pod, Twitter, Instagram. At Butts in the Seats if you're not a Harris Brothers fan. And Button Seats podcast on, well, no, I guess there's also Harris Brothers fan.
There's Nazis everywhere.
It's Facebook.
We're on all the socials. It's some version of Butts in the Pod, Butts in the Seats.
Yeah, I think the only competition we have for Butts in the Seats on Twitter is my failed one from the first month of the podcast.
Is that still active? I don't know how to cancel it.
I don't know the password anymore.
Oh, shit.
And so I can't delete it.
Oh, well.
And if you happen to like what we're doing over here, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/buttsintheseats. $5 a month gets you a ton of bonus episodes.
Hell yeah.
Legends House, New Monday Night Wars. Plus, there might be some book reports that we don't have a name for yet. But
I don't know.
Yeah, we're working on that. Emily, any closing thoughts before we close the book on this Nitro?
Don't talk about books when the Hulk Hogan book is staring me in the eyes.
That's not the one, for the record.
I know, but it's there.
The other one is in the room with us. But that'll be over on the Patreon. Like I said, next up is the next Nitro, and hopefully it'll be a better show. But until then, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Goodbye.